Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom. It's my pleasure to be studying Sefer Shmuel with you. Today we're going to study Shmuel Bet, Perek Yod Chet, a tragic Perek, although victorious for David nonetheless. David is in Machanaim. He has arrived there with his entourage and has been properly greeted by some of the wealthy men of Transjordan. Men who, as I pointed out in the last podcast, would have reason to be opposed to David and nonetheless support him. And now we are ready for war against Avshalom and the entire army of Israel. David counted his army, and he appointed officers over thousands and officers over hundreds. In other words, he had a large enough army to be able to do this. And he organized them as he did with his army in the past. And Vayishalach David et ha'am hashlishit biyad Yoav, hashlishit biyad Avishai ben Tsruya, achi Yoav, hashlishit biyad Itai Hagiti. And now he organized his army as he had done in earlier times, as Shaul had done in earlier times, as Gidon had done in earlier times, into three strike forces. This is very much the mark of a guerrilla army and not of a standing army, but that's who David is right now. And one third was with Yoav, one third was Avishai. That division we'd already seen in Perek Chet, in Perek Yod, when they went to war against Ammon. And the third was with Itai Hagiti, who was loyalist, who had stayed with him. And then David said, I'm going to come out with you. I am also going to go out to war. They told him, you're not going to go out. If we have to flee, they won't pay any attention. In other words, the people's response here is one of pragmatics. If we have to flee, they won't pay any attention. And if even half of us get killed, they still won't pay any attention. It won't mean anything to them. In other words, it will not boost their morale. But there are 10,000 of us. Evidently, a lot of people have joined David. But evidently, what they were saying was, even if we incur heavy losses, it will not be the end of the battle. But if you come out, and this is something they did not want to say, but if you come out and are defeated, that will be the end of everything. So you stay here and you'll help us from the city. David feels himself evidently quite indebted to these loyalists and says, whatever is good in your eyes, I will do. So he stood by the gate, and all the nation went out by their hundreds, by the thousands, in other words, by their military divisions. Now, standing by the gate to wait to see what's going to happen is something that we are all too familiar with from the story of Eli back in Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalad. And the news that he gets is not good, and it has to do with the death of his sons, if you recall back then. Okay, keep that in mind. And so then David calls his three newly appointed generals of his strike force and says, La'atli lanar la'avshalom, go slowly or lightly with the na'ar, with Avshalom. And everybody heard the king make that command. That will come up later on our parak. But everybody heard, and so none of them really has the ability to say, oh, I didn't know about it, and to do anything to Avshalom, even though they may feel very differently. And they went out to the field, the battlefield, the Krat Yisrael, it was in this area called Yar Ephraim, which is in Transjordan. And Avdei David, even though they were outnumbered, were victorious. And there was a great massacre that day, 20,000 fell. That's the same words, again, that are used in Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalet, Magifa Gdola. The war was spread throughout the land, meaning it wasn't just one battlefront, it was all over. And they were swallowed up or eaten up by the forest. This is a somewhat obscure and difficult phrase. What it may mean is that they were hurt by the wood. That's the way the Radak reads it as a suggestion. They were hurt by the wood because they were running so fast and so willy-nilly that they were hurt more by the wood than they were by the sword. This, of course, takes us back to the war in Givon, where more people died from the hailstones that Hashem sent down than by the sword. Vayikra Avshalom lifnei avdei David, and now Avshalom appeared before he encountered. Vayikra here from Lashon Mikra, before avdei David. Avshalom rochev al haperet, and he was riding on a parrot, on a mule. And if you recall, that is something that is used by kings. Vayavo haperet. Remember the Bnei HaMelech when they went to Avshalom's shearing, were riding on their mules. Vayavo haperet tachat shovech ha'ilah. It came underneath the branches of an elah tree, hagdola. Vechazag rosho va'ilah. And his head got caught in the tree. Vayutan ben hashamayim ven haaretz va'aperet asher tachtav avar. And so his head got caught in the tree and the mule kept walking. So here was Avshalom, the big hero, hanging by his head from a tree and he couldn't get out. And he was hanging between heaven and earth. Vayar ish achad. And so one of the men who was one of David's men saw this. Vayaged li Yoav. He went and told Yoav, here's Avshalom hanging from a tree. So Yoav said to him, you saw him, why didn't you kill him? And then I would pay you 10 gold talents and one fancy belt. Right, that's what your reward would be for doing that. Even if you would give me 1,000 talents of silver, I would not touch the son of the king. Now this, of course, echoes David's words about not hurting Shaul. It's again not the person but the office. Here it is this loyalist to David saying, yes, this man has rebelled against my king, but my king himself said not to hurt the Ben HaMelech, and I would never do that. And this is somewhat chutzpahdik to speak to your general. He said, it was in our own ears. We heard the king command you and Avishai and Ittai, saying, Shimru mi vanar be Avshalom. Be careful about Avshalom and don't hurt him. O asiti ben avshi sheker. If I would lie, v'chol davar lo yikached ben amelech, v'ata titzatev v'neged. And if I were to lie, the king will know about it. And are you going to back me up? And as if I say, I didn't know about it, I didn't hear about it, are you going to back me up? So Yoav seems to admit that he would not do that. Vayikach shlosha shvatim, he took three spears, or three stabs, bechapo, vayitkaim b'leiv Avshalom, oderu chai b'leiv ha'ila. And he took them and stabbed them through the heart of Avshalom, and it makes it sound as if these stakes are still in the tree, as of the writing. And then Yoav got 10 of his men around, 10 of his weapons carriers, and they smote Avshalom, who was pinned to the tree, and they killed him. And then Yoav blew the shofar, calling the troops back. They stopped their chase. He stopped them from going. Because, after all, the war is really over. They threw Avshalom's body down in the forest. And they placed a huge pile of rocks over him, which goes back again to Sefer Yoshua, where the enemy kings had been defeated. Of course, it's a great tragedy when the son of David is treated like the king of Yericho and the king of Ha'ai and etc. and the king of Chatzor. But that's what happened to him. This pile, the huge pile was put over him. Everybody, all of Bnei Yisrael, the Yisrael, meaning not David's men, ran back to their tents. And the war is effectively over. Now, this next pasuk, you have to understand by utilizing the grammar, and we talked about it back in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tet, Vav Shalom Lakach, Lakach meaning had taken. It's past perfect. He took a matzeva in the valley of the king near Yerushalayim. Kamar Ainli Ben. Evidently, he said he didn't have a son. This is at a time when he didn't have sons. If you recall, Avshalom had three sons and a daughter. But evidently, he had done this before he had sons. Bavura is Kirshmi, so my name will not be continued. So he built a monument in honor of himself. Vayikrala Matzevet al Shmo, and he called it Vayikrala Yad Avshalom Ad Hayom Hazeh. It's called Yad Avshalom. That is not the Yad Avshalom that is just to the east of the old city of Yerushalayim. That is a Maccabean era structure, but it was evidently in that same area, and that's perhaps why that second structure was called that. In any case, we know that Avshalom now has died. Vachimatz ben Sadok Amar. So now, if you recall, Achimatz, who was one of the runners, was evidently now out at war. I want to run. He's a runner. I want to run and go tell the king and bring him the news. Avasra, meaning he is under the same impression that Rechav and Baana were and the Narma Aliki were. Everybody thinks that when they tell David that his enemy and the one who's trying to hurt him has died, that David will rejoice. But when it's Shaul, when it's Avner, when it's Ishbal, and now when it's Avshalom, David is not going to be happy at all. Yoav finally understands that. So when Achimatz said to Yoav, let me go and bring the glad tidings to the king, that Hashem has judged him from all his enemies, Vayomer lo Yoav, lo ish besora ata hayom hazeh. You're not somebody who's giving good news. What you're bringing is not good news. Uvisarta biyom acher, on another day you'll bring good news. Vayom hazeh lo tvaser, ki al ken ben amelech meit. Today you don't bring good news because, after all, the king's son has died. Yes, we've won the war. Yes, we've defended the crown, etc. Vayomer Yoav la Kushi. So Yoav turned to a Kushi, to somebody who was evidently from North East Africa. Lech haged lamelech asheraita vayishtachu Kushi liYoav vayarotz. He was evidently a servant of Yoav. He said, go tell the king exactly what you've seen. The Kushi bowed down to him, and he ran. Now, the Kushi doesn't know who's who here. He just knows that this fellow was killed. He's going to bring the news. Vayosef or Achimatz ben Tzadok vayomer Yoav v'hima arutza nagama ni achrei Kushi. So Achimatz said, nonetheless, let me run after the Kushi. Vayomer Yoav lama zeh taratz b'ni ulechayin besora motzeit. Why do you want to run? You don't have any good news to bring him. V'hima arutz, and he said, nonetheless, I want to run. Vayomer lo rutz, okay, run. Figuring that the Kushi was so far ahead, David would get the news from the other fellow. So he ran through the town on the way there, and evidently he crossed, and he passed the Kushi. In the meantime, David was sitting between the two gates of Machanayim. And the lookout went up to the roof. And he looked up, and he saw, and there's a man running by himself. That's what he saw. So the king said, go and see. If he's running alone, then he's bringing news. In other words, if he's running with other men, it might be an attack, it might be flight. But if it's one man, then it's news. He came back, and he said, yes, he's running alone. And the fellow came closer. And then the lookout saw a second guy, which is going to scotch things here. And so he called to the gate man and said, here's another man running alone. And the king said, well, if he's running alone, then he's got other news. Otherwise, they'd be running together. He said, the first guy looks like Achimatz. He's a good man. He's going to be bringing good news. This is very much in line with judging the messenger by this news and vice versa. So Achimatz got there, came to the king and said, Shalom. He bowed down. All he said was, blessed is Hashem who has handed over the people who tried to lift up their hand against you. In other words, we've won the war. But he says nothing about Avshalom. Shalom lanar Avshalom. And the king's first concern is, how is Avshalom? Rachimatz ra'iti amon ha'gadol lishtoach et eben ha'melech Yoav et avdecha v'lo yadati ma. Achimatz now understands what Yoav was talking about. Achimatz thought that David's focus would be on the victory. Instead, it's all on Avshalom. So Achimatz kind of mumbles. And what does he say? I saw that everybody was running around, and they wanted to send me, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know. So he told Achimatz to turn to the side, because the second guy is coming. Now the Kushi came. God, you should be informed that God has now judged you from the hands of all those who tried to stand up against you, to oust you. So he asked him the same question: is Avshalom okay? And the Cushi doesn't understand what's going on. Ve'yamar Cushi, yuchanar oyve aduni ha-melech. All of your enemies should end up like him, like that boy. David now understands what's happened. David is now going to take a turn in a direction that will be very displeasing and very problematic, because instead of rejoicing over his victory or taking relief and solace in the fact that his crown has been defended, his entire focus becomes on the loss of yet another son. First Bathsheba's son, then Amnon, now Avshalom, just as the nevuah given by Natan, that Arba'atayim Shalem Tachat HaKibsa. We will continue with Perek Yod Tet in the next podcast. Till then, everyone should have a wonderful day.